various great people who were fond of the Sefer Eichet Tzaddikim, we find this was Rabbi Yankiv Emden. Rabbi Yankiv Emden, among the various different Sforim that he wrote, there's a Sefer called Migdal Oiz. The Sefer Migdal Oiz, there's a whole section that he talks about Zechira, about the idea of memory, remembering, using your memory for the right things. And regarding the Inyonim of Zechira and what is important to remember, he actually brings down and he just quotes extensively regarding, he writes, Aliyas HaZechira. He says, regarding the Milus of Zechira, of remembering, he says, that which I wrote, he says, Lekuach Mesefer HaNichbad Orche Tzadikim. He says, that section that I wrote in my Sefer, the section that I wrote in my Sefer regarding Zechira, is taken from the Sefer Orche Tzadikim, and he says, Kishmoy Kenhu. The Sefer actually is what the name is. Many Sfarim have a name, but they don't live up to the name. This is the Sefer Orche Tzadikim, which is the ways of Tzadikim, the paths of Tzadikim. To Kishmoy Kenhu. Tzadikim Yelchu Barchoysom. Tzadikim will walk in the paths of this particular Sefer. He says, Yisu Medabroysov, they will be discussing, of course, what the Sefer has to say. And very interesting, he says also, that the Sefer Orche Tzadikim, a lot of the Sefer, a lot of the Muslim, the Sefer says, contains from the Chovis Alvovis. So writes Rabbi Yankiv Emden, that even though Im Hayoisoi Koilul Harbe Misefer Chovis Alvovis, and the Sefer Chovis Alvovis, by the way, he says, is the Sarva Odoin L'chol Bale Sefer Chochmas Amusar. Rabbi Yankiv Emden says that the Chovis Alvovis, that is really, that's the king, that's the master of all the Musas for him. And the Sefer Orche Tzadikim gleans quite a bit also from the Chovis Alvovis. In addition also, the Orche Tzadikim also, Lekuach Mishar Sifrei Chochma, he also gleans from other Sforim of Chochma that were before him. But nevertheless, he says, whatever the Orche Tzadikim writes, we will try to follow. And the Imre Kodesh and the holy words, he said, should not be underestimated. And he says, even though many times you might find things that are repeated, it means they are worthwhile repeating. So therefore, if the Orche Tzadikim repeat certain things a number of times, he says, it's not because he's just repeating it, but really because these are things that have to be learned and have to be studied. Interesting thing is that Rabbi Yankiv Emden actually was Nifter in the year 1776, which is an interesting date. And he's, of course, his father was the Chacham Tzvi. And Bez Hashem, we hope to be at his kever, Mech Hashem, the kever of Rabbi Yankiv Emden, and that is in Altona, which is in, together with, which is Hamburg in Germany. And it's the old Beis HaChaim. Actually, when he was 17 years old, till the age of 17, he learned from his father. His father was his main Rebbe. He considered his father, Chacham Tzvi, considered to be his main Rebbe. And he actually did not occupy any rabbinical position. He didn't want to be a Rav. Didn't occupy any Rav except once. And that was in the year 1728. He became the Rav in the city called Emden in Germany. And it was because of that one time that he was Rav over there. He's known as Rav Yankiv Emden. His name is not Emden, but Emden was the name of the city that he was Rav for that one time. And he goes down to history as being called Rav Yankiv Emden. He was actually there a number of years, something like 4 years. And the idea is that he was very, very tough. And he was not a bending person. It was very difficult. And he didn't last too much longer than the time that he was there. And from then, Kiyadua, he would always still make a brocha instead of Shloisani Eved, Shloisani Oved, Aleph Beis Dalet, Ov Bezdin. That was not a Rov. He thanks the Bunchlam that he was not a Rov. Interesting also that with special intervention, he got a license, as it were, to have a private printing press in his house. It was normally not allowed that a private person would just have printing, but he, through various and special intervention, received a license permission to open up a printing press. And in addition to that, he also had a unique privilege, and that was to have his own minion in his house. It was something very uncommon, because if you lived in a city, there was the kehillah. The kehillah had its rov, and you had to daven the main shul. And you couldn't just decide like, to open up a shtiebel like in Kugan Hills, you know, or in this street and in that street, or in the backyard. You couldn't do it like that. So if you wanted to open up a shul or anything like that, you had to have permission. That permission, even from the government, because any rabbinical position had to be sanctioned, was authorized by the government. The government had a lot to say many times when there was difference of opinion who should be the rabbi, and the government sometimes would say, no, we only give him, but not the other one, whatever their personal reasons were, their subjective reasons. But he had gotten permission to have just a exact a minyan mitzumtzum, not a large minyan, but a minyan to have like 10 people. It was said that everybody was happy because no rav wanted to have a balbos in shul like Rabbi Yankev Emden. He was someone who's always looking over your shoulder, so it's very difficult, you know, to be a rav of a keilah and have him sitting there and scrutinizing everything that you said. And he would voice his opinion. It was he did not hold back. He had a son named Tzvi as well. He had many children. One son was Tzvi, named after his father. That son was Nifter. Also, his first wife was also Nifter, very young. And at that point he became very, very ill because he took it very, it was very, very painful. And came to a point where the doctor said, no, he's not going to make it. But he did. He bounced back. The rav in his town originally, the rav in his town was Rabbi Cheskel Katzenellenbogen, whose kever is also, by the way, over there, not far from the kever of Yankev Emden, over there in Hamburg, in Germany. And Rabbi Cheskel Katzenellenbogen was also in the Gedoy Lador. He came originally from Brisk. Then Brisk was not the Brisk you think about, the Brisk, Reb Chaim Brisker, but it was Brisk was a well-known place. A lot of Gedoy Lishol were Rabbonim in Brisk, going back 300 years ago, as we're talking about. And this Rabbi Cheskel Katzenellenbogen came from Brisk, and he was the mechaber of a sefer called Shalos Teshuvos Knesses Yecheskel. And matter of fact, the Mishnah Brura, you know, when he talks about the area about how to distribute chiyuvim, you know, differences between a yortzeit and somebody who's in the shloshim and somebody who is in the year, and the question is who has the din kedima, who has the preference, who has first, you have one omud, you know, who goes first, and so on, all the various in terms of kadeshim, who has the first schus, right, to say kadesh over somebody else, depending where you are, right, in your chiyuv. So the Knesset Yecheskel basically was the one who set down the various rules and the various halachas in terms of who's first, who's second, if it's a question between one or the other. So there's a certain order to follow. And Mishabur brings down the Seder based upon the Sefer Knesset Yecheskel. When the Knesset Yecheskel was Nifter, so became a Rav there in Hamburg, of course, became Rabbi Yonis Naibshitz. He became the Rav. And as a matter of fact, in the beginning, when Rabbi Saibshitz was there, they were very, very friendly. As a matter of fact, he sat right up front, not far from the where the rabbi sat, where Rabbi Saibshitz sat. And Rabbi Saibshitz was also machabed him, gave him COVID. And not only that, when Rabbi Yankev Emden printed his siddur, but he printed his own siddur. Rabbi Yankev Emden said he printed himself in his own printing press. It's a much smaller size than you see today, because it's been reprinted, much smaller, but it's a larger. But the original sefer, I've seen one or two original prints. Somebody in this neighborhood also has a first printing, Nochem Sherman actually, has a first printing of Rabbi Yankev Emden's sefer, the one that he prays siddur, that he printed. It's much smaller. And he took a skoma from Rabbi Yonis Leibschitz, and that was before. And after, of course, then became the great rivalry between Rabbi Yankev Emden and Rabbi Saibshitz, which really took entire Germany and included Poland. The Associated Kills took it by storm, based upon the fact that Rabbi Yankev Saibshitz was very great in Kabbalah as well, in addition to being the great, he was a preeminent, one can say, Godel or Torah scholar of the generation. Rabbi Yonis Naibshitz, and he was also great in Kabbalah. They said it was a magefa that women would die in childbirth. As a result, they requested he should write kameis. So he'd write on a piece of parchment, write certain shemus, and the women would wear it. It's like an amulet, and lo and behold, it worked, and they survived. They survived. And it is said that one of these amulets were given and to Rabbi Yankev Emden. He opened it up, and in his opinion, the way he read it, he said that he saw that there are remozim over there, that there's some signs that Rabbi Yankev is a follower of Shabbosai Tzvi. Of course, it was the false Messiah, false Mashiach, and that caused and was the beginning, stirred up a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous controversy. It was such a tremendous controversy, they say that the stock market at the time was closed, even in effect on the whole economy. Stock was closed. And the newspapers at the time was always filled with this issue, because what happened is the Rabbonim took sides from all over the place. Great Rabbonim held with Rabbi Yonson, another Rabbonim held with Rabbi Yankev Emden. And Rabbi Yankev Emden was banished from Tequila. They drove him out. He cannot remain here in Germany. They didn't allow him to be there. In the meantime, his wife petitioned the king. The king was named Friedrich, and the fifth, and ultimately said they don't have permission to kick him out, and he eventually had come back. So that's just a little bit about Rabbi Yankov Emden, regarding him. But of course, he wrote a lot of Svarim, the Siddur, which is called Beis Yaakov. There's also the Shal Sechuvah, Shilas Yaivitz. There's also a sefer called Eitz Ovois, the sefer called Moiruk Tzio, going on Shulchan Aruch, and there's Lechem Shemaim, is on Pirkei Ovis, and so on. So Rabbi Yankov Emden was about 80 years old when he passed away, and as we mentioned, that the year was 1776. In any case, as we saw, as we started, that Rabbi Yankov Emden was a very fond of quoting, as you say, the Orchis Tzadikim, and he quoted him extensively, especially in the area dealing with Shar HaZechira, with the Orchis Tzadikim discusses the area of remembering, things that are important to remember. And Rabbi Yankov Emden, as you say, gleaned that topic from, took it from the Orchis Tzadikim. Before I take a look at the sheet, let me just mention something. You know, we're talking and we're learning about the Shar HaNova, which is the gate of HaNova. It's important to at least explain, really, you know, with all of the things we're talking about, and now we're talking about humility, it's important to point out what humility is not. You know, we're talking about what it is, what it's supposed to be, the Alazachin, but it's very important to know what humility is not. And Rabbi Yoel Apian, of course, one of the great Balamusa, once pointed out, an onov, somebody who is humble, does not mean that he does not know his greatness. It's a terrible mistake to think that a person who has Anova, who has humility, means that he doesn't know his greatness. It's just the opposite. The truth is, a person has to recognize his strengths. A person has to recognize his madregas. A person has to recognize where he's at. Anova means that in spite of knowing his greatness, but he believes that all of his talents were given in Hashemayim, that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave to him as a gift. And everything that's given as a gift is to no fault of his own, right? That he possesses this gift. It's no difference if somebody's born with blue eyes. So what are you going to boast about it? I have blue eyes. What did you do for it? You're born with blue eyes. Or if somebody was born into a rich family. Nothing to do with him. He happened by accident. He happened to be born. But it's nothing that he can boast about because it's not anything that he had achieved. Or if someone's parents have passed away and all of a sudden, right, he comes into a great inheritance. Again, it's something that just happened. So the same thing when someone has godless, he has greatness and he has talent, one has to understand that this is a matona, this is a gift in the Shemayim, and therefore he understands that this is not his own, but rather just the opposite. What he should say to himself is that with my talents, maybe I should have even accomplished more, or say that somebody else who may have had the same talents may have excelled even more than I. If a person looks at it that way, will bring him to humility. But it's not that he doesn't recognize his strengths. He recognizes his strengths, but doesn't boast about it because he says, maybe somebody else with my talent would have been even greater, could have achieved even more, could have done much more. But, of course, he does recognize his greatness. And the proof of that an onov does not mean that he does not know his greatness, because at the same time, who is the greatest onov of all time is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest onov. The Torah himself testifies that Vayishu Moshe onov me'oid mekol odom. That Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest onov, right? From anyone on earth, even though the Torah says Beferish, the Torah says Moshe Rabbeinu b'chol beisi nemanu, because Baruch Hu says that from everyone he is the most loyal to me. Moshe Rabbeinu is the closest, and the Pesuk says Pe'al Pe'adam Raboy, and Moshe Rabbeinu knew that he was the only one who speaks, right, first hand with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'smunas Hashem Yabit, and is able, as it were, to see and vision HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, as much as is possible. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw that he had this unique relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that nobody else had. And at the same time, Moshe was a great onov. So of course, Moshe knew, on one hand, he knew all the great things that he possessed, and yet it was not something that he would boast about. Moshe still was able to be humble, saying again, this gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me, right, is a gift. Had somebody else also had the same gift, maybe it would have been even much greater than me. It would have been even greater Novi than I. Would have been a greater prophet than I. And so on. As a matter of fact, we have the Yud Gimel Ikrim, right? That you have the 13 main principles, which is at the end of the davening, the Sidurim, yeah, which is the main Ikrim that a person is supposed to believe in. And one of the things of the Animamins, all the things Animamin, I believe this and I believe that, all the things, the main things that a person is supposed to believe. And one of the things is to believe that Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Navi of all time. Right? Animamin, Shenevuas, Moshe Rabbeinu, Olav HaSholom, Hoysa Mitis. That's one of the Animamins. I believe that the Nevu of Moshe Rabbeinu was true, the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu was true, and he was the Av, he was the father of all the Nevim, before and after. So if this is one of the 13 Ikrims, Moshe Rabbeinu also had to believe in it. It's for him too. So he had to believe that he's the greatest Navi. He had to believe it. It's one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim. It belongs for every Yid. Moshe Rabbeinu is not excluded from any of the Yud Gimel Ikrims. He has to believe in all the Animamis. And one of the Animamis is that I, Moshe, right? I'm the greatest Navi. And yet you're an Onav. What it means to say is that the Onav, definition of an Onav is not that he does not know his godless. He knows his godless. But in spite of knowing his greatness, you're still an Onav. That is the true definition of an Onav. As a matter of fact, the Chazonish said it also, but in a little different way. The Chazonish once pointed out and said, you know, very sharp as far as Rabbi Leib Chassaman, the Mashgiach of Heaven, he said, a person does not know his godless, he says, is a shoyt, is a fool. He knows his greatness. I mean, he's great, so he knows. He knows the miles he possesses. So an honor does not mean that he does not know his greatness. The Chazanish pointed out, then he said, that the person who has all the godless, he knows that he's a great man, he knows that he's a goyin and toiret, and he knows, let's say, he has all of the various great madregas and talents. The idea is, he should not seek covet, the honor. That's the definition of an honor means that in spite of his greatness, he does not seek or demand any honor, that people should honor him for those reasons. Because he understands that if he was given talent, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a matter of fact, obligated him, right? He has greater responsibility. The more talent or wisdom that a person has, it's not just a compliment, it's a responsibility. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you that talent, so now the question is, are you living up to utilizing that great talent? Somebody who has lesser talent, Shemayim is not going to demand for him the same thing as the person who does have. So if you have godless in you, don't seek honor for it, but rather, you know it was given to you for a purpose. You have now an achrayus to execute it and to utilize it in order to bring great honor for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Mishnah says in Ovid, and lamadat ha-Torah harbe, if you learned a lot of Torah, al tachzik toiv le'atzamecha. Right? Don't consider something a favor to yourself. Don't say, oh, I deserve a lot of thanks. Kelekach matzarto, you were created for that. So whatever you're doing is not something that you should expect honor for it, because you were created to do all that. And Mela, that is your obligation, and that is your chiyuv. Just could I just to mention what Rabbi Ruchim Lvovitz once pointed out? Rabbi Ruchim said like this: it's very bad, he said, if a person does not know his faults. Terrible thing, because then you're not going ever going to do tshuva. You're not going to rectify. You're not going to change. So it's bad enough, he says, a person does not know his faults. But it's even worse, a person does know his milus. That's even worse. Person who does not know his godless, person does not know, he says, matter of fact, he said Loshin, it's seven times worse. Because the person who has talent in godless, you'd be able, if you realize it, you recognize it, that you'd be able to overcome all of the obstacles and be able to achieve, of course, much more greatness than, in fact, that you believe. So it's very important that a person should know. Bad if you don't know your chesroinus, but it's even worse, it says, if you don't know your milus. So said Rabbi Ruchim. It's kedai just to mention that it's mentioned about Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld, the Rav of the Badatz, the Dachredis in Yerushalayim. He said that the shliach, once the shliach of the yeshiva, the secretary of the yeshiva, once sent a shliach. He said, I want you to go and bring me, he says, Rosenfeld. I want you to bring me Rosenfeld, because there's money has arrived from overseas to be given to her. So there's a peckle of money, there's a packet of money. So the secretary of the yeshiva sent a messenger, go over and bring Rosenfeld. He made a mistake, and he thought he heard Zonenfeld. So he goes over to Reb Chaim Zonenfeld, and says, Reb Chaim Zonenfeld, he says, they want you in the yeshiva, making him come. You can imagine, no one, whatever, the covet of Reb Chaim Zonenfeld, if you have anything for him, you go to him. You don't ask him to come to you. But Reb Chaim says, okay, he's being called, he's being summoned by the secretary, so he comes. When he arrived, the secretary was in shock. He says, what did the Rav come for? So the Rav said, he said, what do you mean you sent for me? He said, no, we never. You think we have sent for you? If we have anything for you, we would come to you. It was a mistake was made. We have something. There's a peckle over here. There's a package here for Rosenfeld. And happens to be Mrs. Rosenfeld. So Chaim Zonenfeld leaves. They thought he was going home. He himself continued on to find Mrs. Rosenfeld's house and to tell her there's a package for her. So he carried out the shlichas anyway, but this time he did it on his own. Just another example of great people, you know, in terms of humility, in terms of what anova means. This is, again, many, many examples of great people, of how they conducted themselves. So we go now, Rabbi Yosef, to the Yorkes Tzadikim. We take a look here. The left off here is Horavi. We live here. Yeah, looks if you see it, there's just what page is it? Chavov? Okay, Dav Chavov. Horavi. In other words, what the Or Sadiqim were in the middle of, he mentioned that there are six signs in a person's behavior that he possesses the mid of Anova. There's six signs. And so now he's pointing out Horavi, the fourth sign of anova, of a person. He says, Im haboyre baruchu meitiv loy be'oishu bebonim. If a person had this chus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did so much good with him, he gave him wealth and he gave him children, he gave him family. Or benoisim loy chokhma yaseiro usavuna bechoboid. Or a person was fortunate enough that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him extra wisdom, gave him extra understanding. When a person receives the gifts of Hashem, Ashiris, Bonim, Chochma, instead of boasting about it, Yosef Anova Vishifilis Lifne Haboy Rebarachu. As a matter of fact, that should be a cause to add even more humility and to make him more lowly in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the idea is he's receiving a free gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, if it's not going to humble him, you know what happens? It's just the other way around. It's going to bring him to Gaiva. The Pasuk says, V'rom levovecho v'shechachto es Hashem alekecho. If a person begins to boast about the things that he has and about the things that he possesses, ultimately, he's going to be so caught up in his possessions that he's going to forget there's a Rabbeinu Shalom. So says the Pasuk. V'rom levovecho, your heart is going to, right, is going to rise. And the shechachta you're going to forget es Hashem alekecho ki hu anoysen lecho koyach lasas choyel. That he was the one who gave you the ability, right, to make this fortune. So when you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you and granting you all this success, you have to be careful that you don't begin to attribute it to your own powers. And that's all the more reason that you should be humbled and become lowly in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And v'yechabed b'nei yodom, and you should honor people, v'yetiv lahem yoyse mebatchila. You should pursue their good more than before. You're the person, right? The more wealthy that he is, now he feels that he deserves honor. He shouldn't be the one to give honor to others. After all, he's the Yashir. He's the Chocham. So the Chassadikim says just the opposite. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed you with Ashiris, with wealth, and he blessed you with Bonim, so you go out of your way to give honor to other people, not now to expect that they're going to give you honor because of your Ashiris. And he points out, Kimoy Bavron. The same thing we find by Avraham Avinu, actually. Avraham Avinu we find, Bishoa Shomalai HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaMachasa Ani Mavron, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham Avinu, that in fact he's going to reveal to him that he's going to destroy the city of Sodom, which means that Avraham Avinu was then Zoyche, he merited in a certain sense like prophecy, because Baruch went and revealed to him his plans, his future plans. Not many people are privy and open to what Kadosh Baruch Hu plans in the future. Kadosh Baruch Hu picks very, very special people to whom he's Megala, to whom Kadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, exposes and reveals secrets. Avraham Avinu saw how choshev he is by Hashem. The Hashem said, can I hide from Avraham Avinu, as it were, what I plan to do? Avraham Avinu saw how important he is to Hashem. Did he boast about it? Just the opposite. What was his response? Omar, he said, Vanoichi Ofer Vefer. He said, I am, he says, no different than dirt and dust. Ashes and dust. In other words, Adrab, what it brought from me to humility, that if in fact I have this chus of being so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that all the more it's demanding of me that in fact I should serve Hashem even better. If Hashem has shown me so much favor, so much grace, and allowed me, right? He stretched out an open arm to bring me closer to Him, then in fact, I should really see that I should deserve it. And I'm undeserving. That was the attitude of Avraham Avinu. This is what the Orach HaTzedekim is telling us. If Hashem blesses you with Ashiris and so on and so forth, and with wisdom or Chochma, then a person in Adrabah should understand that this should actually bring him even to greater humility. Yosef Anova, as they said before, and Shiflis. And as you do what the Beis Halevi says, that Avraham Avinu said, what's this double ocean? He expresses himself in two ways. His anivis, his humility says, I am like Ofer. He says, right? I am like Ofer, which is I am like dust. And he says, Ve'efer, and I'm like ashes. Is enough dust? Why say dust and ashes? Why do you have to give two examples? I'm dust and I'm ashes. Dust is lowly. Ashes is lowly. Say, Ve'nochi Ofer. Isn't that good enough? That's anivis. How many people can say Vanoichi Ofer? Vanoichi Efer, I'm ashes. Why double? Why does it say double ocean? Why do you do double moshel? Vanoichi Ofer Vefer. So the Beis Halevi pointed out, Kiyidu in the Beis Halevi says, Chaim Brisker's father, and he says, what is the difference between Ofer, right, dirt, right, and Efer and ashes? He said, if you think about it, ashes, what's ashes? The definition of ashes is that it had a past, right, but it has no future. What is ashes? It used to be a chair, it used to be a table. You burnt it, so now it's no longer, it turned into ashes. It means when you're looking at ashes, now it's nothing. But it had a past. Ashes, by definition, means there was an ovar. There was something before, but now there's nothing. Ofar, dirt is the opposite. Look at dirt, there's nothing. but if you plant a seed, guess what? In a year from now, tremendous things can grow out of it. So Ofar has no past, but it has a future. Ram Avinu was saying, I'm so nothing, I have no past, I have no future. Begunish. I'm Ofar of the Efer. That is the double metaphor, that's the double moshul. Benoichi Ofar of the Efer. He looked as if to see is, I'm a nothing. Nothing. He said, Benoichi Ofar of the Efer. Yochai Tzadikim was on to say that Roiv Chochmo, V'Roiv Momon. He says that if a person has so much chokhmah, the more wisdom that a person has, and the more wealth that a person has, hakoful boilam azeh, which is abundant in this world, yeh machmas echod mishloisha devarim. Tzadikim here is saying something very fascinating. He's starting now to embark to tell us. When a person finds himself that he is blessed, he's blessed. You're not sure if you're being blessed or not. A person finds himself that Hashem gave him extra chokhmah, gave him extra wealth. Could be for one of three reasons, he says. It could fall into one of three categories. So before you're so happy about it, he says, you have to worry about it, that to see which category it falls into. He says, because he says, most of the time, most wisdoms and most money, wealth that a person gets on this world, could be for one of three reasons. It falls into one of three categories. And he goes on to say as follows. First he'll say the three categories, and then he'll tell you what is the sign. How do you know which category you are in? But what are the three categories? Hashem blesses you with wisdom. Hashem blesses you with wealth. He says, it could be hu'echod l'toiva. One purpose, one category is Hashem is doing it for your good. Hashem is doing it for your good. He says, it's l'toiva meza kodesh baruch hu. So Kodesh Baruch Hu b'kitzah is giving it for good. In other words, what means for good? Hashem gives you extra money to be able to utilize it, to grow in avodas Hashem. To be able to do so much good things with the wealth that Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving you. Maybe to be machzik toire, right? Maybe to be machazik almonois, yisoymen. There's so much good that a person can, maybe Hashem gave you this money, this is latoiva. This is for your good to be able to grow in avodas Hashem. And by the way, and you're not going to lose from your chelik in olam haba. Because there is a concept, right, that we know, and he's going to mention it later, that sometimes Hashem gives you extra in this world, and it's really not good for you. Why? Because it's going to detract from your chelik in olam haba. Because whatever you use up here, means that you're going to be lacking in olam haba. So mamela, but if a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives it l'toiva means it's not going to be used up. Whatever Hashem gave you, all the good He gave here, it's not going to take away from your olam haba. Because Hashem gave it to you l'toiva, you should be able to utilize it to do good things with it. Right, to grow in avodas Hashem. The Shlach Kodesh says, we say in the benching, the end of the fourth bracha, V'rachamim v'chaim v'sholam v'chol toiv u'mukol tuv l'yoylam al yechasreinu. The Shlach Kodesh says, the pshat like this, we're asking Hashem, give us all the good things. V'rachamim v'chaim v'sholam v'chol toiv. I ask Hashem, give me all the good. But then we add one more thing. U'mukol tuv l'yoylam, but from all the good of the next world, al yechasreinu, I shouldn't lose. So on the one hand, I say, Hashem, on this world, give me all the toiv. But from all the good that's l'oilam, that's for the next world, al yechasreinu, please don't make me lose. But what you're giving me on this world should not be in exchange of the next world. So that's the one category. The one category again is that Hashem is giving you either a lot of wisdom or is giving you extra wealth, is giving you l'toiva. Hasheni, the second category might be is l'nesoyin, is for a trial. As we'll soon see. This is for a trial. In other words, to see how are you going to deal with it? Are you able to handle it? This is an Nisoyim. Now the purpose of trial can be many reasons. One reason Hashem gives you is a trial, and that is because if you pass the test, then you're going to get a lot of extra schar. Because the more challenges that a person has, right, in his life, and he's able to overcome it, so Mela, this is an opportunity, this is giving a person an opportunity to multiply his reward and his schar in the next world. On the other hand, there's sometimes a test, the person being tested, in a certain sense, the test is a punishment. Because being that a person did not behave so properly, so therefore Hashem says, listen, if this is the way that you behave, so then you don't deserve any better, and maybe therefore you're going to be challenged. Like we find that Yosef HaTzadik, Rashi says in Chumash, that Yosef HaTzadik was actually playing around with his hair. He was Mesalsel Besaroi. In a certain sense, like was beautifying himself. Because Baruch said, oh yeah, your father's crying away there, and you're busy beautifying yourself. And in the Garabuch HaSadoif, he says, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to get the bear after you. That was the mice that the wife of Potiphar started pursuing him. So we see that this was the test, but this is because he was Mesalsel Besaroi. Because he was doing something that, in the eyes of Hashem, was not the appropriate thing to do at the time. So he was thrown now into another challenge. He was given a test. So in any case, so the second reason, a person might be given extra chokhmah, must be given extra mamayim, the purpose is l'nisayim, the purpose is for a test. And the third reason is sort of like revenge. Revenge means when Hashem is giving it to you, He's giving it to you, ba'olam hazeh, He's giving you all these things in this world, but you may lose out as a result in the next world. And He's going to point out all the three categories. Simen HaToiva. What is the sign of good? How does a person know that if Hashem bestowed wealth upon him, that it's for good? For a good reason. So he says, the question is, the wealth that he has, right? How is it being used? And the question is also, what are the effects? Which means, im ho'ocher hazeh, lo'yaseh hezek l'shum odom b'memoinoi, if a wealthy man does not injure anyone through his wealth, wealth gives a person power. And because of his power, that may be the cause that he may harm other people. But if Hashem, right, who gave you wealth, and the person who possesses the wealth does not harm or injure anybody, in other words, the wealth was not a cause. The wealth of the person was not a cause to hurt anybody. And the same thing with wisdom. If a person is extra smart, extra chokhmah, he can use his chokhmah for bad things. A person can use his wisdom for bad things. But if the chokhmah lo yischakeim lo hara l'shum adam b'chokhmosoi, if a person did not use his chokhmah, did not utilize his chokhmah to harm anybody, what else? What did he do with it? Achzeh b'chokhmosoi v'zeh b'oshroi. But rather, the chokhmah with his extra chokhmah and the oisher moisif in avodas hakodesh baruch hu. But the money or the chokhmah that they have, we see that this adds and allows a person to grow in his avodas Hashem lefi inyonam, according to the situation. Oz be'emes, that clearly is a sign. He said that a chokhmah, that the wisdom oisher letoiva hem eis hakodesh baruch hu, is really a toiva. So, Bekitzer, if no negative effects come out of the Ashiris, if there are no negative effects coming out of the Chochmah, so that is the simon that was given to you, L'toiva. But then he goes on to say further, V'simen ha'nesoinu, and what is the sign that the wealth or the Chochmah was given as a trial? What is the sign of that? What is the sign? So the sign is like this, She'yeh bal ha'momoin torud al shmiras mamoinoi. When you find a person who's wealthy, that is always preoccupied guarding his money. That's the main thing in his mind. So his life basically is always worrying and he's preoccupied guarding his money. That's what he's doing. The Yorain is always concerned Shemiyafsid Mamoinoi. He's always worried that maybe he's going to lose it. So he's always busy guarding his money. And it means, therefore, that he doesn't even allow himself to benefit or enjoy it, right? According to the amount that he has. The Einoin Ehenel Lefi Hamomoin. And he's not able to enjoy it. He does not derive an enjoyment. But Lishlet boy, that he should be able to rule over that money, Velechol Memeni, and to eat from it, mean to benefit from it. So you see, here he has money, and yet the money really is not really doing anything for him. On the contrary, he's so preoccupied, worrying about it. But at the same time, he's not harming anybody either. He's not hurting anybody. Except within his own life. With his own life, he's preoccupied, and he's not able even to enjoy it. The Gameina Meira Lo Odom B'Yoshroi. But he's not injuring anybody through his wealth. The Gamlo is going, he's not boasting either. But his life is from 9, not from 9 to 5, from 9 to 12 at night. He's just busy pursuing, right? Just to collect and to amass a greater fortune, a bigger fortune. And then he's always preoccupied with his money. He's preoccupied earning it, and he's preoccupied always worrying about it. So he's Toirech Tomit Lekabit Hoim. He's always busy being Matriach himself, but to collect, right? Hoim fortune. The Doig Bishmiro, so he's always concerned about its safety. And v'gamino is an adova, and he doesn't donate it either. So he's not even donating it. V'nimarachim alaniim, he doesn't have pity on the poor people. Loimachil is not feeding poor people. Loimalbish, he's not clothing them. And the same thing a person with his wisdom. It's the same thing in the area of wisdom. He would be able to do a lot of good things with his wisdom. So im meisim roiv chokhmosa aloilam hazeh. If a person devotes most of his chokhmah to the affairs on this earthly world, l'sakein tzrochov, to correct his earthly affairs, but veinam is chakim, but does not use his wisdom. He's not using it necessarily to hurt anybody, but he's not using it to do toive either. Elu vada l'nesoyin hem. He says this type of wealth or chokhmah was given as a trial, because what we see in his life, that neither did his wealth allow him to do more mitzvahs. At the same time, also we saw he didn't necessarily do bad things either with it. I mean, the bad things was, he says, he's not doing good, he's not giving the dover, but not in an active way, he's not doing anything bad with it. In such a thing, we see, so this is where the money was given in the soil as a test. But then it's finally, which is the third category, and this would be the worst category, the Simen Hanakoma. The Simen that Shumayim gave it to you, sort of like as a revenge for your behavior in the past. So Hashem says, funny thing, I'm punishing you by giving you wealth. Funny thing. I'm punishing you by giving you wealth. I'm punishing you by giving you wisdom. Interesting punishment. But the idea is, this will take away from his Olam Haba. This wealth will take away from his Olam Haba. So he's paying a very dear price for the wealth that he's had on this world, because now he's losing a lot of his eternal reward in the next world. And what's the simon for that? What's the simon that it was given to him for Nekoma? So the Yorchid Tzadikim, the simon ha-Nekoma, she'yeh bal ha-momoin mazik la-cherim b'momoinoi. Oh, the person who uses his wealth to harm others, that till now in the other first two categories he was not using the money for that. But if a person actually uses his money, uses his power to hurt other people, umizgoyboy, and he is boasting about it, then oisaboy tzedokah, he's also not doing charity. Vitorid boy liyisanek, and is preoccupied for his own pleasure. Kamashomra Kosov, as the Novi says, Yeshaya Novi says, regarding people who are totally involved, consumed with themselves, sosoin v'simcho, right? They are only interested in joy and gladness. Horoik bokor, they kill oxen, v'shochit soin, and they slaughter sheep. Or another posik v'im, or another expression, how people are just preoccupied with their own life enjoyment. They have the harp and they have the lyre, right? And they have the flute, toif, they have the drum, v'cholim, the flute, v'yayin mishteim, right? And wine, all these things they have at their drinking party. So they're busy partying. And does not use the money to pay back Hashem. Hashem gave you this wealth. He gave it you for a purpose. So he's not doing with it. He's not paying Hashem back what Hashem has given him to do that what he's supposed to be doing with his money. So al zeh nemar, a person who possesses such wealth, this is really for his detriment, as the Pasuk says in Kehelis. Oishir shomur lebaol of l'rosoi. Kadosh Baruch Hu had given the person money, and the person keeps guarding it. He thinks he's guarding it for his own good, but really that the money, the ashiras, is being guarded l'rosoi, is to his detriment. And he goes on, the same thing is also with chokhmah. Chokhmah can also be used to do a lot of evil things. People start planning, right, and plotting. That's what they use their chokhmah. They could have used it for so many positive things. So v'cheinim ha-chokham. If you have a person who is a chokham, yarim, right, lasos rois, he is clever to do things that are evil. V'layas ha-toiv. K'mon shenema, as the Pasuk says in Yirmiyo, it says, chachomim heima lohora. Unfortunately, they are chachomim to do evil. When it comes to evil, that's where they are chachomim. They use a chokhmah to do bad. U'lehetiv lo yado. But they have no idea, right, how to do good. They don't use the chokhmah for that. If this is how a person uses his chokhmah or his ashiris to harm people, to hurt people, and they only use it for themselves, to ingratiate themselves, then you can know, os chokhmah soy lo lemichshol, the chokhmah was given to him as a stumbling block. Lachain, therefore, says the Yorchid Tzadikim, if a person finds himself in the possession of wealth or wisdom, make sure how you control it and that it doesn't control you. Lachain hamaskil, the wise man, yase b'mamoinoi u'b'chokhmosoi, a person will see to use his money and his chokhmah, right? Hatoiv, he'll do all the good, lefiroiv b'mamoinoi u'b'chokhmosoi. It has to go, right? It has to go, run measure for measure. If you have more money, then you have to do more good. If you have more chokhmah, you have to do more good. If you have less money, so proportionately, according to Reiv Mamoinoi, according to Reiv Chachmosoi, you should need to utilize it for good purposes. And the Yosef Achno Vishiflis, and it should lead him and bring him, you should add humbleness, humility, and lowliness. V'layig baliboy, he should not, right, raise up his heart, should not have gaive. V'lo oylam yidak, should always have in the forefront of his mind, should always worry. That Shema Ha'oishir Hazehu Schori, it should not turn out that the money was given to him as a reward in the place of Olam Haba. That should always be in his mind. And V'hum Oysam Shenemar Aleim, he should worry that he should not be of those that the Pasuk says, as we know, U'mishalom L'soinov Elponov L'Havidoi. Kodesh Baruch Hu pays his enemies to their faces, means on this world, L'Havidoi, because they're going to lose from Olam Haba. V'gam Yidak HaChochom, the same thing person gets Chochmah. He should worry that maybe I shouldn't fall into the trap. Shema hu ma'isam, that he might be among those shenemar aleim, that the Pasuk says, chachomim heima lohora ulehetiv lo yado, that they're using the chokhmah for negative things, for bad things. So at the end of the day, b'chol odom chayev lehischakem ulehizboinim, every person has to employ his wisdom and his thoughts, lahagia bechachmosoi lemaisim toivim, to use his chachma to attain good deeds, to the extent at she'ein koyach bechachmosoi lahasik yoser. Use all of your chachma to the ultimate extent of his wisdom, to be able to do the most, to do all the more maisim toivim as is possible. So this is, we said, this is, again, this is the other idea. So this is the other nekuda. As he points out, Kodesh Baruch gives a person wealth, Kodesh Baruch gives a person wisdom, but can fall into one of three categories. So it's up to the person, really, to see to it that what he has should not turn out to be to his detriment, but rather it should be l'toivosoi. Just want to mention that, when he mentioned that a person should utilize his chokhmah, if Hashem gave him more chokhmah, he should use it all the more. If he has less chokhmah, according proportionately, according to what he has, he can't do more than he has. The Mesillas Yesharim points out the Ramchal in Perek Beis, and he says as follows. He is a miyesh boy chokhmah rabam, quoting the Mesillas Yesharim. If a person has a lot of chokhmah, he's mechuyev, he said, to teach it to someone who needs it, someone who needs to avail himself of his wisdom, impart some of your wisdom to others. And he points out what Rabbi Yechon and Mezakai said, if you learned a lot of Torah, do not keep it for yourself. And the same thing says Ramchal further. Im osher hu, if a person is wealthy, first of all, be happy with your lot. Yismach b'chelkoi, ve'olav hu la'azoy l'misha enoy. And it's his obligation to help those, right, who are not able, who don't have. So this is the idea how a person should use his chokhmah, and how a person should use his ashiras. So let's take a look, Rabbi Yisai. Let's look at the sheet here. And we're going to see a piece of Ramchal, Mesillas Yesharim, in Perek Yud Aleph, a few lines of Mesillas Yesharim. And then we see some comments on it. You take a look here on the sheet we have here, the Mesillas Yesharim in Perek Yud Aleph. He quotes a Gemara. The Gemara says, "Ba'omru zal zechroinim levrocha." The Chachamim said in Masech Tzchum, "Da peites toile eretz al belima." Now, literally, it means very simply, Hakadosh Baruch Hu suspends the earth over nothingness. You see the globe of the world, the earth. What keeps it up? What keeps it down? It's right there. The earth is there. Kodesh Baruch Hu suspends the earth over nothingness. Toile eretz, Kodesh Baruch Hu suspends the earth over nothingness. So the Gemara takes the word belima. Belima also has another meaning. Belima means to close, to shut. Belima, the Gemara says, al mi sheboilein piv bishas meriba. Do you know in whose merit the world stands? So you think about so many good deeds that a person can do. The Gemara says, the schus of the world stands if a person has the ability to keep his mouth closed. In other words, he does not get involved in any machloikis, does not get involved in any quarrels, and he's able to hold back, right? Even though somebody might have said something to him, right, which is something which he doesn't really like. But toil eretz al belima means he's able to boil and piv, he's able to keep his mouth closed, bishas meribo. Vahainu, says the Ramchal, it's referring to a person who really has already generated, he really has anger, potential anger, but he's holding back. But who be his gabrus or boilin be? Boilin be means he's closing his mouth. That's also a tremendous madrega. You know what's even a greater madrega? The greater madrega is Hillel. Hillel wasn't even bothered by it. A person who is bothered by things that other people say, right? Okay, you're bothered by it, but at least not to retort. That takes a lot of strength. That's a madrega. That's also something. It's tremendous. But even greater is to come to a point where you're not even bothered just because somebody else said it. So he says, Omnom midosa shel Hillel Azokim, but the midah, however, the character trait of Hillel Azokim, the old Hillel, oil al kolel, is way above all this. Shekvar loy hoya makpid al shum dover, he wasn't even bothered by it. So he didn't even have to fight within himself to hold back, because he wasn't bothered it. It didn't bother him. He didn't have any, right, nothing within him engendered any kast or any anger. Such a person certainly has conquered the whole inyan of anger, because he's come to a point where not he's controlling his anger, which is also tremendous, to control your anger. He's comes to a point where he is not even angry to begin with. So that's something which is, of course, much higher madrega. So we have here, there's a sefer called Or LaYisharim, and he brings from the sefer Or Yohel. Or Yohel was Rav Leib Chassman, of course, Rav Shadron, the Rebbe, one of the Rabbeim of Rav Shadron, Rav Shalom Shadron. Rav Leib Chassman, of course, was the Mashgiach of Hebron. And he brings as follows, Toile Eretz al Belima. Again, the earth is suspended means the earth hangs on whose chus? Abelimah, Misha Boilampiv, who's able to close his mouth at the time of anger. That's such a tremendous chus. Then that's chus the world is able to stand. So he points out, Dorish Reb Yehuda Leib Chasman. Reb Yehuda Leib Chasman, who was the Rav and Rosh Yeshiva also of Stachin. He said, Shnei Ma'amorim He Tzigu Chazal Lefaneinu. It's very interesting. Chazal give two depictions of people who are tremendously mighty, right, in their midos. Now I want you to compare the two. Let's take a look. Chazal points out to two extra special people. In other words, two midos that are tremendously great. Al anoshim giboyre heruach, people, in order to have those midos, you have to be a very powerful person. A person has to have tremendous self-control. Chazal pointed out, and if Chazal have given us and shown us, two people who are mighty people, Hamikaimen umachzikim b'schusim esoilam. The two people who in their schus the world stands. Now let's take a look and compare the two. One of them, is the Gemara tells us in Brachas, Kol oilam einoy nizoin ela bishvil Chanina beni. Rav Chanina ben Doisa was a tremendous tzaddik. The schus of Rav Chanina ben Doisa was so great that in his schus alone the whole world was able to be sustained. The Gemara says the Chanina, as a matter of fact, he has so many schusim, he merits so much. That he has so much chusim to share with the entire world, and he yet himself doesn't need anything. The Chanina beni dailoi bekav charuvim. All he needs is, right, is like a measure of carrot. Measure of carrot. He needs almost nothing. And yet he has so much in his chus, he has so much, the entire world, right, stands in the chus of Rabbi Chanina. And then the Gemara says, another person, in whose chus the world stands. Believe me, he's not Reb Chanina ben Doise. He's not a tzaddik Reb Chanina ben Doise. Who is that other person? Ein ho'oilam miskayim, says the Gemara Chulin, el b'shvil mi sheboilam misatzimai b'shas mariva. If someone is able to hold back and refrain during the time of a quarrel, right, and he does not let it continue, he keeps his mouth quiet, that's a person, in his chus, the world stands. Toila eretz al b'limo, the Gemara just said a moment ago, Ramchal brought it. The world is suspended, means the world stands, and who's al belimo, misha boilim pip, who is able to close his mouth. So listen what Rav Leib Chasman's observation is. Here we have two mamorim, two types of people, in whose chus the world stands. So Rav Leib Chasman, vine, ba'oit shemamor harishin, right? The first mimer that says, you have to be Rav Chanina ben Doise, that means you have to be a lamed of tzaddik. Rav Chanina ben Doise was a lamed of tzaddik. You have to be a chosid, a kodesh Hashem. You have to be a holy person in order to be a Reb Chanina, right? V'ine, b'oit shemamer harishim, to be a person who fits into the first mimer, Chanina b'ni, you have to be a person a chosid v'kodesh Hashem k'Reb Chanina ben Doise, right? I say sheyisal k'seifov u'schuyosov, that you have so many schusim, you can imagine, that it should be able to be mekayim the world. Guess what? The second mimer, you are also a person in whose chus the world stands. We're not asking you to be a tzaddik. We're not asking you to be a kodesh or a holy person. One thing, close your mouth, b'shas mariva. Close your mouth, be able to overcome your emotions, and just hold back. Can you imagine? It's a mind-boggling thing, he says. He says, Hareshim b'maimer asheni, the second mimer that tells you that the world stands in his chus, ein ksiv loy tzaddik loy chosid, ela kol udam yeh mi sheyeh. Could be anybody. If he's the type of a person that when people fight with him, he can conquer the Yetzirah. If he keep his mouth shut, says, the whole world stands. And he says, can you imagine when this person, it may be very difficult on this world to do that, but now when he comes to the next world, he says, ultimately when this person comes to the Olam HaEmes, to the true world, and he's going to realize that he, in fact, carried the whole world on his shoulders. In this world, he doesn't realize that. That for keeping his mouth shut, keeping his mouth closed, that in fact, in his chus, he was holding up the world. He'll come to the next world and find out, do you know what you did? Do you realize that you, on your shoulders, you carry the world? He's going to find out, ki who, that it was him. Shenosas kol oilam al kseifav. Hayeshlach ushe v'sipi godol mazeh. Can you imagine, is there any greater simcha? Is there any greater satisfaction that this person will have? He says, this is the idea, he says. This is, on this world it may be difficult to do, but imagine you find out the tremendous, tremendous accomplishment when you come to the eternal world and you find out to see all the greatness that you have done. We'll turn the sheet on the side to number 4. And this is another interesting maise that we spoke about many times concerning the Gedolei Yisrael. We're always very careful, especially in the Inyonim when it comes to learning, studying Torah. And he saw that people who were much less learned than they would not point out clearly to embarrass them and to show them clearly that, you know, you don't know, you made a mistake, you know, or start to rebuke them in the sense of belittling them. We have a very interesting thing here, which is brought down from a sefer called Chaim Sheyesh Bohem in Parashat Shemois. It brings the following. This episode has brought down quite a number of sfarim. One of the great Bala Musa was also Rabbi Itzel Petterberger, Rabbi Itzel Blazer. He was a Talmud of Yisrael Salanter. One of his customs of Menhagim was that throughout the entire Chodesh Elul he would not speak. The entire Chodesh Elul would not speak. This was his great avoid in the world of Musar. The entire year he was a Yish Musar. But one of the things were, as a matter of fact, before he got married, he made a condition with his wife. She should know his Menhagim. Can you imagine you have a wife, you don't speak during... If anything you had to say, communication, he would write it down. But he wouldn't speak. And let her know ahead of time. It's not something that he would spring upon her. He said, this is the way I am. If you can tolerate it, we'll get married. But she would know ahead of time, this is what it was. And in Chodesh Elul, he would not speak. It is said that when he came from Lithuania, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, and his kever is on the Har HaZeisim, not far from Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, all the great Gedolei Yerushalayim, you'll find it right there. So when he came to Eretz Yisrael, so the boat docked at Yafo, that's where the boat docked, and it was a tremendous Kabbalah sponim for Itzel, a great Baal Musa, is coming to Eretz Yisrael. And so they got together, a big Kabbalah sponim, and they were Mekabal Ponim, someone got up to speak, and then they were Mechabarim, they gave him the honor that he should say a few words. After all, this whole Kabbalah sponim, right, this whole arrangement was made for him, for his Kovit, so let's hear a few words. He refused to speak, didn't want to say anything. They said, please, say, speak, don't you see, all of this is for you, all of them. He didn't need all that Kovit, obviously. So he said, the reason I don't want to speak is Azoi. The Gemara tells us, you know, the tongue is such a dangerous thing. Moses says, "Achaim v'moves biyad aloshin." Right, with the wag of a tongue, you can kill somebody. Right, it's all the tongue. It depends what you say. You reveal secrets, certain things. You can destroy people, especially if you say things. You reveal things which are very dangerous, and so you can kill people, and you can bring life. Life and death is in the hand of the tongue. It's biyad aloshin. So the Gemara says, being that the tongue is so dangerous, Akash Baruch Hu gave the tongue to Shomrim to watch over the tongue. The lips and the teeth. You realize that the tongue is recessed behind the teeth and behind the mouth. Because the tongue is such a dangerous tool, because Baruch Hu gave the tongue to Shomrim. Two Shomrim to watch over it. So the Bristol says, I don't have any teeth, and on one Shomrim I don't rely on. So, Ichlevnish. So I don't speak, he says. That's the Bristol. So we have here the mice like this. Pam, he said, was a time that his damen hagoyin Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer lePetterburg. Rabbi Yitzchak said, "Asifa achas im gedoyle toyre shebedoyre." Rabbi Yitzchak arrives at a certain asifa, the gathering, and there were many gedoyle Yisrael were at that gathering. Ubeneim hoyagam hagoyin Rabbi Yosef Doiv Soloveitchik Rabba Shaluya Brisk. So Rabbi Yosef Ber Rabbi Chaim Brisk's father was also among the gedoylem who were there. Rabbi Yosef Doiv, Rabbi Yosef Ber Shol Krisha Harifa b'shem benoy Rabbi Chaim. Interesting. Rabbi Yosef Ber presented a kasha to Rabbi Chaim, his son's kasha. Father brought down a kasha of his son. So Rabbi Yosef Ber presents a kasha of Rabbi Chaim. Ubakvoisev, as a result of that kasha, you can imagine his pateach, vikuach, soyar, a stormy debate on that kasha, because many gedolei Yisrael sitting there. So this aroused a stormy debate, bein harabonim. All of them, kulam tirtzu, vispalpalu, b'chol echod, hera es b'kiyusoy, b'charifusoy. Each Rav showed his b'kiyas, his knowledge, his sharpness, to try to answer from such a source. Because everybody got involved, except one person didn't say a word, didn't get involved in this whole debate, in the whole Shakla Vitaria, didn't attempt to answer the question, just sat there quiet, motionless. One person. The b'soyv yoshav, Rabbi Yosef Doiv esakusha, b'teretz echod. Rabbi Yosef Doiv, first of all, he answered the whole question with one teretz. In other words, what all the Rabbanim answered, that wasn't the teretz Rabbi Yosef Ber was looking for. At the end of the day, Rabbi Yosef Ber, he himself offered the teretz, and then he gave another teretz, with teretz echad b'shem Rabbi Chaim. So he gave one of his own teretz, and also gave a second teretz, a teretz that Rabbi Chaim himself, was Rabbi Chaim's kasha, supposedly. So Rabbi Yosef Ber answered his teretz, and he also gave a teretz that Rabbi Chaim said. And it was tremendous. He said, she flew as kol hashoyimim. Whoever heard it were partially astonished. Tremendous teretz. Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer, on the other hand, Yoshav Koloiso Ace Betoich Saris HaMispapalim, he sat there within the storm, right, of all those being Mephapal, V'loi, right, Potsope, did not open his mouth. Ki ilu ein hadover negeeloi, as if it's not negeeh to him. He's sitting there, people think there he's an Amoris, Peter doesn't know how to learn. Everybody was involved, all the Rabbanim were involved in that kasha. One person was not involved. Ki ilu epsi, does not know what's going on. Next count, five, number five. Rabbi Sadaiv Toma. Rabbi Sadaiv was very surprised. Ha'im Zehu, because till now he only heard about Rabitzel. And he said about Rabitzel great things. There's a great Talmud Chacham. Now he said there's a Sifa Rabbonim. There's a Kasha on the table. Everybody, right, gives his input. And Rabitzel Blazer doesn't seem to have anything to say. Could this be the great Rabitzel? He said, Ha'im Zehu, Sho'im Ramol Abodim Godlu. Could this really be the person that they say such a great man? Kishishov Lebesoy. When he goes home, Rabbi Yosheber goes home. Bikesh Shevil Ufonov, a Sifroi shall Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer Pri Yitzchak. I have the Sefer. From Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer, you think about him as a great Bal Musar, there is a Shail Sechuvis Pri Yitzchak, which is a tremendous Sefer. Tremendous Sefer. There you see a lot of Goynis, you see a lot of Lomdis. By the way, one of the unique Psokim of Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer in the Sefer Pri Yitzchak, which not everybody goes along with, he passed, you know, the Ketchila, a person should daven after the nates, right? After sunrise. But the Eved, a person has to go to work, right? So you're allowed to daven before the nates, before sunrise. Happens all the time, right? In the winter time. You have to go early. So you daven before the nates. But that's Bidi Eved. Now you have no choice. The Ketchila, you should daven after the nates. Question. Let's say I have all the time in the world. I'm not rushing. I could daven after the nates. I could daven after sunrise. However, the question is this. If I daven before the nates, I can daven with a minion. After nates, I don't have a minion. So what's more important? Davening after nates without a minion, davening after sunrise without a minion, or daven before the nates, but at least you have a minion. So Bissel Paskin, that a minion is more important, and he said, if you have a minion before nates, then like a tchila, you can daven before nates, he says, rather than daven after nates. Others don't agree with that. Others say, like tchila, you're supposed to daven after nates. And if you don't have a minion before, right, and if you don't have a minion after that, it's too bad. But like tchila. So this is a difference of opinion. But in Sefer Pri Yitzchak, that is his opinion, that davening b'tzibur before nates is more important than davening after nates without. So Rabbi Yosheb Ber came inside and says, I'm opening up the Sefer Pri Yitzchak. Guess what? He finds that kasha, and the terrorists he finds in the Sefer. The koyach of holding back his mouth, not saying anything, was a tremendous thing. Right, risking that people should think he doesn't know how to learn, people should risk and think that he doesn't know. Not only he knew, he himself already brought the kasha, it wasn't Reb Chaim's kasha, it was his kasha, just the same. He also answered kasha, and he also answered the same teretz. And he was still able to hold back. Rabbi Sheber could not believe it, as he points out. He saw the great anivis, the greatest humility, you know, regarding Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer. So again, here's just another example of Baisai, the godless of Gedolei Yisrael, again, in the middle of anivis. Okay, call to. Right, that's just the wrong.